stand. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Hear, O Israel, your God is one. Father, Spirit, Holy Son. Hear, O Israel, your God is one. Worship Him alone. That's what we want to do, because it is true that as you told the nation of Israel in their Shema, in what Cliff read for us, that's part of it, is that there is only one God, and we are to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And hopefully, you know, by the end of our service today, Lord, we'll see that even more so. So we just pray that you would encourage us and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before you're seated, greet somebody you don't know. And you ought to say hello to Andy, because, you know, Sheffield's, I'd go, you know, but I don't have a ticket.
All right.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. As 1 John says, we love Him because He first loved us. That love that we depend upon. this pain.
There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. In death and life, I'm confident in covered by the crown of your great love.
In death, this pain,
there's
Father, we thank you that that is true. A lot of things run out on us. People, money, health, happiness, joy. A lot of things just run out. Batteries die, we run out of gas, we run out of food. People let us down, but the one thing that we can count on is your love will never run out on us. And Lord, as we just pause and think about our lives, we realize how patient you have been with us, how long-suffering you have been with us. Where if we're honest, we recognize that if we were God, we'd have chucked us long time ago. But your love never runs out. That's just amazing. And we depend upon that. We depend upon that higher than the mountains that I face. Think about the mountains you're facing right now. Think about it. Say, Lord, I got this mountain. Dear Ellen's got her son Jared with cancer facing, hopefully he can get this treatment will revitalize his body so he can receive treatment, but that's a mountain. That's a mountain I can't climb. That's a mountain she can't climb. That's a mountain he can't climb. But that's a mountain. Stronger than the power of the grave. Constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains. Your love never fails. Never gives up. Never runs out on me. And on and on and on. It overwhelms and it satisfies my soul. If you think about it, like nothing else has, can, or will. And I never, ever have to be afraid, even though I face these mountains that are higher than I can face and stronger, in the grave. A death is obviously very strong, but I don't have to be afraid because this one thing remains. Your love never fails. And it never runs out on me. And in death and in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. Because my debt has been paid. And there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Because you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that the one believing in you should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you just think about that, it's beyond us. But Lord, we are thankful that we can depend upon this one thing. Your love will never run out. Now, as we sit here today from literally almost all over the world, at least from somebody's from over the pond, we recognize, Lord, that we all carry issues. We all carry baggage. We all carry heartache. We all, know people that are struggling with illness, struggling with all kinds of difficulties. And as they come to your mind, let's just spend a few moments of quiet prayer. Pray for them. Pray that they would know your love. And pray that you intercede on their behalf. So whatever it is that's on your heart this morning, first of all, thank God for his love for you. And then pray that that would be shared with people you're concerned about. Father, we thank you that you hear every prayer. And even if we can't vocalize it, if we can't even form it in our mind, you know. You know our hearts. As Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, before he instructed us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have a debt against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Before he said that, he said, look it, you don't need to use meaningless repetition like the heathen who think, you know, if I can just bug my God long enough, he'll give in. He says, no, no. Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. He knows what's on our heart. And guess what? He still loves us. That's the marvelous thing. And so, Father, as we think about these great truths and more that we're going to study from Deuteronomy 6, this next song just makes so much sense. And may it truly be the expression of our heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?
Praise you, with all your soul, with all your soul.
This is what we want, because you alone are worthy, and we want to worship you. And that just fits in so well with Moses is telling the children of Israel. And so as we open our Bibles now, again, we just got a little bit of time together, so help us forget about what's next. Forget about who's playing who. Forget about what's for lunch. Forget about whatever it is, and just concentrate on you. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. Pray to that end in Jesus' name. Amen. And turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Chapter 6 is as we continue. If you're if you guys are behind, you can go to murphyscommunitychurch.org and catch up, or you go to Murphy's Community Church YouTube and catch up. Even though you've probably noticed, those of you that check both of them, is that they tend to be a little bit different. And today is going to be no exception. Going through this passage of scripture, going over it, I got to be honest, because, I mean, for preachers to be honest, maybe it's a rarity these days, but, you know, I'd worked on this and worked on this and worked on this, and I had, for those of you YouTube fans, notice we had 8 key words that are going to sum it all up, but we're going to do 8 key words again, except we're going to change one. So I'm reading through it again last night and going over what I've already gone over, and all of a sudden I noticed that the NAS, which is what I'm using, the New American Standard Version, has not done me any favors because they mistranslated a word. Well, I don't know if they mistranslated it. They put in a word that should have been another word. It really kind of changes things. And so I told my wife last night, she says, oh dear, I can't believe this. So we're going to adjust it. So you've come to the proper setting, even though, you know, YouTube, because actually the two words do go together, which is probably why they translated it the way they translated it. But anyway, so we're in Deuteronomy, and this is the children of Israel come out of Egypt. Remember, they were in Egypt 40 years plus, 400 years plus as slaves. God had got them there through, remember the story of Joseph. Joseph goes, sold by his brothers, and they really wanted to kill him, and God had a plan. And so God, when the famine came, the brothers had to go to Joseph for food. They all ended up moving to to Egypt, and God blessed them. And while the Pharaoh that knew Joseph, because remember Joseph ends up second in command in Egypt, a Jew. And the people came, and it was awesome, until Exodus starts where it says, and then a Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph and saw the Israelis, the Jewish nation, as a threat because they were multiplying like crazy, and God was blessing them. So the Pharaoh sees this threat and says, we got to do something about this, or they're gonna take over. And so remember, they treated them very harshly. They put them to, they were the slaves. They were the ones that made things. They were the ones that did the straw and the bricks. And remember, Pharaoh even said to the midwives, look, at when you're helping the Hebrew women give birth, if it's a son, kill it. The daughters can live, but the sons, kill it. We don't want them raising an army. And they were under that kind of domination and that kind of difficulty for some 400 years. And they cried out to God, and they cried out to God, and they cried out to God. And then Moses, remember, he's floating down the river, the Nile River, and he ends up in Pharaoh's household. You can read all of that in Exodus. And then he kills an Egyptian because he thinks he's helping his people, and he has to flee. He's in the wilderness for 40 years. God speaks to him out of a bush that is burning and not consumed. And God says, Moses, you're my man. I have heard the cries of my children, and I'm sending you to free them from their domination under the Egyptians. And then the whole story is Moses says, well, I can't do that. I can't speak. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. Eventually, he does go. And remember the 10 plagues of Egypt? And Egypt is economically, socially, mentally. They were already spiritually a mess. But things are just really de-escalating. That's not a word, is it? De-escalating. You know, escalating is going up. De-escalating is going down. Things are just going down. And so they're freed from Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. It was a miracle. Because I don't know, I've been to the ocean many times, and I've stood there and said, part, nothing. And I want to walk to Catalina, part, nothing. But God did that, and they walked across on dry land. And then the Egyptian army was following him, because Pharaoh woke up after he lost his son, and, you know, the firstborn of children and of animals. He says, oh, wait a minute, because he let them go finally. And Moses has been saying, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, no, no. But finally, he says, well, wait a minute, we just let go our workforce. Who's going to do the work? So they went after him. And God miraculously had the Red Sea come back on them and drown them. And so they have this pilgrimage to the land that God had promised to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they finally get there. Remember the story. And they send in the 12 spies. And the 12 spies come back and say, man, it's everything God said it was. Land flowing with milk and honey. It's awesome. However, you know, their A-team is better than our A-team. There are giants in the land. I mean, we can't do this. We will be destroyed. Our children will become prey to them. So we're not going. In fact, they got very grumpy. That's been their pattern. And they said, Moses, you know, take us back to Egypt. And if you're not going to, we're going to appoint a leader. We're going back to Egypt. And God said, enough, enough, enough. You're not going in. In fact, you're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years, 1 year for every day the spies were in the land, until all of that generation that came out of Egypt dies. You realize of maybe the 2 million people that came out of Egypt, only Moses, Joshua, and Caleb survived. And of those three, only Joshua and Caleb got to go into the land. 2 out of 2 million. I don't know what percentage that is. I know enough to say it's very low. And so they're wandering around in the desert for those 40 years until the children that they said would become prey grow up, and now we're going to do it again. So now they're on the east side of the Jordan. Jericho is the next stop. They're the north of the Dead Sea. And Moses has been relaying to them their history and re-going over the law. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6 really begins the section where he rehearses the law given to them at Mount Sinai, remember, with lightning and thunder and the Ten Commandments, plus much more. So really from chapter 6 to chapter 30, as this generation is getting ready to go into the land, Moses is telling them what they need to know. And really, if you think about it, Deuteronomy 6 through 30, that's a lot of chapters. But what we have in chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, some of you will understand this, is the Cliff Note edition. How many of you have used Cliff Notes? Some of us did. I did too. It still didn't help. But it's the shorter version of the whole thing, and it ties it up. What Moses is doing is the title we had on YouTube, For Those I Love. For those I love. God tells Moses, I want you to tell these people, verse 1, of my statutes, my judgments, my commandments. Why? Because I love them. And I want the best for them. Some of you are parents. And some of you know what it's like to eventually send your kid out into the world. Right? It can be a frightening experience. I remember taking one of our daughters to college, and that was kind of weird. I mean, taking our son when he joined the Air Force, that was kind of weird. It's hard to let go. And yet, if you really love somebody as they go out of, about to go out into the world, go out to this new adventure, what do you tell them? I mean, what kind of instructions are you going to give them? That's what God is doing to the children of Israel. You're going to come into this new promised land that's going to have temptations, going to have opportunities that you've never had before. And before you get there, I want to share this with you because I love you. I'm going to warn you, I'm going to instruct you on how to behave when you get out there, or for them, when you get in there. And that's what we're going to find in Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 15. So follow as I read, and then we'll go through it. Now this is the commandment, and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you today, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall serve the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about that when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities, which you did not build, and houses full of good things, which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourselves that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you, is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. Man, that is quite a welcome to the real world, son or daughter, speech. 15 verses would be a lot to remember. Be a lot to remember. We made it a little easier for our kids, well, my wife did. I can remember many times when they would leave for whatever adventure they were going on, she would say, have fun, be safe, and remember who you are. That's basically what God is saying through Moses to the children of Israel. Look, go out there and have fun, be safe, but remember who you are. And you can remember that. And we're going to give you 8 key words from Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 15. You say, I can remember, well, I think I can remember, have fun, be safe, remember who you are. I don't know if I can remember 8 points. You don't have to remember 8 points. You got to remember 1, Deuteronomy 6. That's where it's at. So if you forget where in the world is the pastor going, I'll go home and I'll read Deuteronomy 6. That's all you got to remember, Deuteronomy 6. And this is God to his children because he loves them. Number 1, fear. You are to fear the Lord your God. Verse 2. I'm commanding you this, that as you go out there, this is what you want to do. You want to fear the Lord your God. You, and the word denotes reverence. It denotes such reverence that you know your place. And you know that God is bigger and greater than you. And so you don't have a big head. You don't get flippant. You know what I mean? You stand in awe and in holy reverence and fear before the God of the universe. And already in the first five chapters, he said, remember how God did this and God did that. And you just remember, yeah, we didn't do that. I mean, we just walked along. God did all that. We didn't part the Red Sea. We just walked through it. So fear him. Stand in reverence of him. Remember who he is. Second one. Fear the Lord your God, still in verse 2, to keep all his statutes and his commandments. All of them. Say, hey, I, some of them I like. I can handle thou shalt not murder. I'm not sure about thou shalt not covet. And I'm not sure about not bearing a false witness. And I'm not sure about a lot of other things in the Bible that I don't like. I mean, maybe it's, you've heard this, Paul's bias. Maybe it is just the writer's bias, right? Somebody tell me, you know, we don't really know this. And I just say, hey, have you read it? Just read it. I don't have to defend it. I don't have to explain it. I just have to encourage you to read it, because it's the Holy Spirit that'll teach you, not me. And so we want to keep all of his commandments. So as you're fearing God, you keep his commandments. Just like when you're driving down the road and the highway patrolman's behind you, what's one of the first things you do? See how fast you're going. What's the speed limit here? We slow down, you know, or we follow, we're going to signal. We're going to leave proper spacing. It's the same thing. So he says, fear and keep. Number three, hear. Hear. Verse 4, this is the Shema we started. We sang that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Yes, he's a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us create men in our own image. But he's the only God. You're going to go into a land where they're going to worship all kinds of stuff. And the problem was, it was really, quote unquote, exciting worship. It's very sensual. It was very pagan. And it certainly, you know, had that fleshly attraction. It says, you've got to be careful. Because we're all, in a sense, suckers. We get the right salesman. Look what Satan did to Eve in the garden. We can be deceived. We can buy the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, over and over and over again. We got to be careful. And so he says, I want you to hear there's only one God. So remember, as you go in there, as you see all this stuff going on, as you go into the world, as you go to college, as you hear all this stuff they're going to throw at you about, oh, or maybe this. I actually read something this week about a man, oh, I know who it was. It was a guitarist some musician that died, or that's, I guess it's still, oh, yeah, it was John Coltrane. Died at 40 and supposedly had this spiritual experience with her, but he says, you know, I believe in all religions. That's a clue. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And if there's only one God and there's only way, well, there's only one religion. And so you need to remember that. Remember that. And then number four, you need to love that God that you are fearing. That you're fearing, you're so in reverence and awe over that you're going to keep his commandments. You're going to hear and understand he's the only God. In verse 5, you're going to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. We went over that last week. And then number 5, because God knows us, right? Oh, I got it. Yeah, God, I got it. Moses, I got it. Preacher, I got it. Come on, Sororich, I got it. How hard can it be? Fear, keep, love, hear, and love. Well, you're already thinking about, I wonder who is playing today? And what's for lunch? And so we drift all the time. So number 5 is important. Meditate. Child of mine, dear friend of mine, acquaintance of mine, I love you, and you're going into the situation, I want to remind you there's only one God, and you need to honor him and to fear him and to keep his commandments and to love him, and so that you don't forget, verse 6, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You need to meditate on this stuff. You can't think that just going to a church service on Sunday morning is it. Because you're going to forget most of what you hear before you leave. You're going to get out to the lobby and notice there's donuts. Oh, my goodness. Now you've forgotten half of it already. It's like, well, how many donuts can I get and be polite? And so, you know, we are that way. So we need to be thinking. And the scriptures tell us that we need to meditate on his word. You know, that's what I love about Psalm 1. You say, child, let's just stick to children for now. Or friend, you're going out there, I want you to be blessed of God, don't we? Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. They're going to say, man, that's hard, because you know, it looks pretty good. Nor stand in the path of sinners, that's even going to be tough, or sit in the seat of scoffers. All my friends are in that category. Wicked, sinners and scoffers. And you know, and yes, we have a relationship in the sense we are to be salt to them, we're to share Jesus with them, we're to try to share the word of God with them and the love of God with them. But you gotta be careful you don't become like them. So how is it that we cannot walk in the counsel of the wicked, even though we may know some? We stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And the Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts and divides. It's true. I can't tell you how many times I have read the Bible. Can't tell you how many times I've read all the way through it, a lot. Or certain passages, even more. And it just continually, I use the word amaze, but you know, it's a continued blessing to see how God shows you something new every time. And like last night, I thought I had all this done until I'm reading, and there's this word, and I thought, I better look that up. And I thought, uh-oh, God does that all the time. But you have to be in the word. You know, when we've sent our kids off, I remember when one of them went on an adventure and I gave them my little New Testament. And I really liked that New Testament. And said, here, you need to take this. Now, I trust they read it somewhere along the line, but that's what we pray. You need to be in the Word. God uses His Word. In fact, Isaiah says, it will not return void. And so you're going out there, I love you. I want you to hear, fear, keep, hear, love, and meditate. And then, once you get out there long enough and you have other friends or you start having your own children, this is not just for you, right? This is not just for you. Verse 7, we need, in number 6 in our list, we need to teach. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. Teach what? These statutes and the commands of the Lord and the fact that God is one and we're to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind and all that he's done for us. We're to teach them diligently. In other words, what does diligent mean to you? It's not haphazard and it's not, hey, if you get around, no, this is important. You know, sit down. I wouldn't use the S-U word, shut up. Mm. But sometimes you want, yeah, sit down and shut up and listen. Shut up in a loving sense. I'm only doing this because I care. So teach them diligently. So speak and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Just ask yourself, what's my conversation like? What do we talk about when you're with your kids, you're with your friends? Oh, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking about the weather. Even though we talk about the weather, can't do anything about it, right? Talk about your favorite sports team, same thing is true. talk about politics. Well, you can vote, but you kind of wonder, well, what good does my vote do? And so what else do you talk about? You say, well, remember what we used to do at the schoolhouse? What's fresh? Well, what's fresh with you spiritually? I'm not so much interested in what you read 3 years ago or yesterday or the other. What's fresh? You know, think of a loaf of bread. What have you read this morning? And so you want to talk about all these things. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. What they did is, and this is in Exodus 13, is they would take little pieces of scripture or little pieces of this, and they'd put them on pieces of paper and wrap them with leather ties and strap them to their hand, or they'd put them across their forehead, and the whole point was that they would remember. You know, we kind of do the same thing. So some of you, you know, I know that you got these rubber bracelets, right, for different causes. I got a whole collection of different colors. Actually, I thought of wearing them all, but, you know, I didn't want to be weirder than I am. So this one is from Voice of the Martyrs, to pray, and what it says is imprisoned with them. It's a reminder, when you look at this, or it gets in the way, to pray for believers that today are in jail because they are believers. In prisons all over the world, some of our dying is just a reminder to pray for them. Oh God, help them. So these things were the same. These things they would put on their wrists and their forehead were the same kind of things. Whatever you've got to do. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The point is, we got to keep the word of God in front of them. Because guess what? Especially today, everybody's got one of these. And you see, everybody always, I mean, you go to a waiting room, you go anywhere. I remember this was several years ago. In fact, this was a lot of years ago because our daughter was still in San Diego when I was getting her car fixed, and I was in a very high-class mall in Southern California, and I was just sitting there watching people while I was waiting. And I bet you 9.9 out of 10 people walking around in the mall were on their phone. And this was like, 15, 20 years ago? I don't know. Wow. And I just thought, and today you see the same. Where was I going with that, dear? So we need to remember, because there are so many distractions. Teach. So you got it? Number one is fear. Number two is keep. Number three is hear. Number four is love. Number five is meditate. Number six is teach. Number seven, I think, is very important. Watch. You're going to have to be careful. Because I know that you're a human being. I'm a human being. I know what the flesh does. It wars against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh, you're going to have this battle. So, verse 10, then it shall come about when the Lord your God, remember again, now God is doing this for you. This is part of, you got to remember this. God is bringing you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you the great and splendid cities which you did not build. I mean, they were inheriting a land and moving into cities that somebody else built. And if you want to know why God got rid of the people that were in that land, read Leviticus chapter 18. They were that bad. Okay, so you go in there, and you are going to inherit cities you did not build, houses that full of good things which you did not fill, hewn cisterns, you know, you're going to eat dates and olives and all. You didn't do any of it, but enjoy it and are satisfied. So why do I got to watch myself? Because the tendency is to get all wrapped up in all the goodies and forget where it came from. Verse 12, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, out of the house of slavery. Remember who gave you all this. See, and really, if you keep thinking about that, it brings us back to fear and reverential trust and really worship. Brings us back to love. It brings us back to obedience. Because God, I didn't do any of this. And I do that from time to time. I'll sit on the front porch and think, how did I get here? I mean, I know myself well enough at my age to realize I'm not who I thought I would be. And I realize, look at what God has done all of this. The has richly blessed us, and that he wanted them to remember. And then, number 8 is the new one. We are to fear, keep, hear, love, meditate, teach, and watch. On Friday, it was worship. Because that's what the NAS says, verse 13. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him. I tell you, look at the word worship, or it's even simpler than that. You just go to your cross-reference, or you go to your note, and it says, or serve. I thought, serve. I looked up the word, and guess what? It means serve. Every other translation I looked at translates it serve. In fact, ESV does, other versions do, and the word means serve. And I thought, whoa, this is a great thought. What he is telling them, back to my wife's third thing, remember who you are. Go to this great land, you're going to have a lot of fun, you're going to this or that. Remember who you are. Skip over the page to Deuteronomy 7. This is who you are. Verse 6, you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You didn't even choose yourself. God chose you. And he redeemed you. He took you out of Egypt. Why? So you would serve him. So that you would serve him. That is your purpose in life, is to serve him. You say, how do I serve him? Go back to the first verse. By keeping all of his commandments. By fearing him, by loving him, by passing it on, teaching it to our children, we are serving him. This is what we are to do. As the great, and I use this, I use this tongue-in-cheek, this next comment, but somewhat seriously, the great theologian Bob Dylan, he did say some good things. He does say some good things. One of the best things he ever said in his song called You Gotta Serve Somebody, is everybody serve somebody. And his line is, you're either serving the devil or you're serving the Lord. And you're thinking, that's a Bob Dylan. How did you get that right? Because that's true. You are either serving the devil or serving the Lord. And as you send your kid, your loved one, your friend out into this weird world, as Moses and God were doing, that says you're going to have all these people around you and they're serving the devil, and it's going to look great. Because Satan is no dummy. He doesn't show you who he really is. He's the ultimate fisherman. He puts the bait and the stuff on the hook. You don't realize it's the hook. You think the fish would go and swallow that hook if it knew it was going to be lunch? The fish thinks it's getting lunch, not going to be lunch. And that's deception. So you fishermen, I'm sorry, but you're deceiving the poor creatures. That's what Satan does. And so he says, you've got to remember who God is. As you fear, keep, hear, love, meditate, teach, and watch, remember it's all that you would serve him. Now, as we wrap this up, again, you're saying, hey, I wasn't there. I'm not standing there on the banks of the Jordan ready to go into Jericho. I'm not Jewish. God hasn't promised me a land. What about me? Well, let's look at some New Testament references. Let's start with Ephesians chapter 1. And I promised I won't get carried away here. I think most of you have been down this road before. Not of me getting carried away, but with this truth. Realize that God chose us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you didn't wake up one day and smarten up. The reason I know that, because Ephesians 2 tells us we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead people don't smarten up. In fact, dead people don't do anything. But Ephesians 1 tells us it was God. He chose, verse 4, us in him before the foundation of the world. I mean, that thought, every time I read that, I go, really? Realize, you know what that means for me? Before God got to Genesis 1. He chose me. He knew that eventually Bill Sidorovich is going to be born to Mary and Al, and he's going to grow up, and I've got this plan for him. I'm choosing him. that I would be holy and blameless before him. And for every believer in Jesus Christ, that's exactly what he does. And so we need to remember, as we live life, as we get distracted with all kinds of stuff, easy to do. And like I've told you over, I'm really the king of distractions. I really got to work on that. We've got to remember, we were called for a purpose. And this purpose was so strong that, of course, we were born sinners, and we prove it as we live our life. And so what God had to do, just so that he could fulfill his plan, in essence, is he had to send somebody to die in my place. And that was the Lord Jesus. Again, you know, you should, if we're ever on a quiz show, you can say, what's some of your pastor's favorite verses? I hope this is one of them you bring up. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not destined, and he's speaking to Christians. So if you're a believer in Christ this morning, put your name. God has not destined you for wrath, because he's been talking about the wrath upon the world coming. But for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Verse 10. Who died for us. Why? So that whether we are awake or asleep, alive or dead, we will live together with him. Man. See, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We got to remember that. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond. And God died for me so that I could live forever with him. Live forever with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul picks up this theme. Verse 18. Flee immorality. Every other sin which a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, that you have of God? Now watch this one. And that you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Man. So what's that got to do with serving? Because that's what God has called us to do. I'll skip my other favorite chapter, right? Romans 1. Let's just go, because we're running out of time. We're out of time. Let's go to Matthew 4. Jesus on his temptations. In his temptation. The last one but described for us by Matthew. Luke's order is a little different. But Matthew says the last temptation was verse 8. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you. Because Luke tells us they've been given to me. That's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They turned over dominion of the planet, really, to Satan. 1 John 5, this whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. God is still sovereign in using all of that. But it's obvious who's running this place. He says, you just worship me. Satan says to Jesus, I'll give this all of you. See, Satan knows the plan. He knows the plan better than you do. He says, yeah, I know you're here to die. I know you're here to get all these children of yours to be kings someday. But you know what? You can skip all the pain and just have the glory. All you got to do is worship me. Watch Jesus' response. He says in verse 10, said to him, go, Satan. And I think that was a fierce, go, Satan. Get lost, dude, in today's vernacular. For it is written, this is God's design for his creation. And since he made all of us, this was his intent. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. But you know what happens? We're born, we get into this world, we buy all kinds of things. We hear the truth of God, and I don't like that. So we suppress the truth and unrighteousness. I guess I'll end in Romans 1. And God's not happy. But verse 25 says, we exchange the truth of God for a lie. What's the lie? There's no God. We all evolved. It doesn't make any difference. You can do whatever you want. Who says there are any rules today? There's no absolutes anymore. We buy that whole lie. When you suppress the truth of God and unrighteousness, you know, verse 21, you don't honor God, you don't give thanks. And this is what happens. So it's like, dear child, I love you. Dear friend, I love you. Do not suppress the truth of God. Because if you do, this is what happens. They become futile. This is verse 21, right in the middle. They become futile in their speculation. Their foolish hearts are darkened, was darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Say no more. Just look at the world. And then it goes on to say, and eventually they will be judged by God in eternal hell, the devil and his angels. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to buy that lie. We want to say, like Moses is telling the children of Israel, here are the eight. But remember Deuteronomy 6, hear, keep, fear, keep, hear, love, meditate, teach, watch, and serve. God. You don't want to exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Because the end of that road is disastrous and it's eternal. Well, Father, I thank you that of all the things in this world we can depend upon, it's you and your word. You mean what you say, and you say what you mean. We thank you for your love. Your love that chose us to give to your son. I mean, that's what a thought. Your love that when we go astray and we went astray, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that you sent your son to die on a cross to bear sin, to pay the penalty. And if we hear your voice and not harden our heart and eventually say, oh God, you know what? I surrender. I mean, I've made a mess of this anyway, but I surrender. Help me fear you. Help me keep your word. Help me hear that you're the only God and understand that. Help me love you with all my soul, heart, and mind. Help me meditate on these things often and not get distracted. Help me teach these to the ones I love. Help me watch myself that I don't forget this. And oh God, may I serve you. So wherever you're at this morning, I know you're sitting in Murphy's Creek Theater, Murphy's Community Church, Murphy's, California. Some of you are away from home. Well, I guess we're all away from home. But some of you are further away than others. But wherever you are, ask yourself this question, who am I serving? To serve the devil and to refuse the gospel, to refuse Jesus, to refuse God, and to serve the devil, and even with all that he may provide or thinks he provides, you know, like all the legends of people selling their soul to the devil for fame and for fortune, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And remember, he's a liar. Jesus said he's a liar and a murderer and a deceiver. You serve him, and you will spend eternity with him apart from the presence of God. But you sit in Murphy's Community Church, or you watch something on YouTube, or you hear a sermon, or better yet, you are reading your Bible, and God's Holy Spirit ignites in your heart, this is truth, this is you, and I want you. And I died for you. Will you give me yourself? Will you bow the knee to me, fear me, keep my commandments? before we sing this last song, which is really my prayer, I need this whether you do or not, so you get to hear it. But you join, it'll be up here. Father, I just pray that wherever we are at, that we'd be honest to what your Spirit is saying right now to us. If it is finally saying to us, you need to surrender and come to Jesus for salvation, may we do that. May we just say, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner, save me. He will. If we're a believer and maybe we've gotten distracted and we've forgotten all these things, I can't remember eight things. I can remember serve and hopefully Deuteronomy 6. Lord, may I go over this and help me get back on track. Spend a few moments with God and we'll end with this prayer.
Thank you.
Father, help us to remember that no matter how attractive Satan in the world makes sin and unrighteousness look, that you are the answer, you are the truth. And just help us live every day for your glory and for your honor. And with whatever we've got left, may we serve you. We pray that in Jesus' name.